Thank you, praise team. If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open them to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 is where I'm going to be speaking from today. Malachi chapter 3 is the last book in the Old Testament. And so if you know where Matthew is at, go to Matthew and then back up to Malachi. We've been going on a three-week series on stewardship. And I'm glad that you're here today. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about God owning everything, and he does. He owns everything in the world. It's his. We get to have a part of it, and some of the things that I get to enjoy are really pretty neat, aren't they? I mean, I have toilets that flush. I have running water. I have a bunch of things that I enjoy. Not everybody enjoys those quite to the limits that you enjoy. Did anybody not have heat in your vehicle on your way here this morning? Now that's a nice thing, isn't it? You ever driven without heat? It's cold. Some of you are like, yeah, I used to do that all the time. God owns everything. And I trust that you grab this. And then last week we talked about, have you given God your life? God owns everything, but there has to be a part of each of us that says yes to the Lord. And to have a specific time and a specific place, we just can't say, well, grandma used to believe in the Lord, and so do I. The Word of God says even the demons believe and shudder. And we have to have a time, we have to have a place, we have to have a season, we have to have something that we can hearken back to and say, yes, this is what I want to do. I want to serve the Lord. And maybe for you, February 4, 2018 was a great spiritual significant marker for you because you said yes to the Lord in a significant way, and I'm very thankful for that. I think also that we need to give of our finances. I want you to know as I begin preaching this message, I know we have some guests here today, and I know we have some regular attenders here today. And I just hope you hear the heart of this message. I know that several of you give. Who gives what? I don't know. But I do know this. God knows. And I think that when we give unto the Lord, he blesses us in tremendous ways. As I've mentioned, if I went around the room and I talked with several of you how God has blessed you because you've been faithful to give, there would be story after story after story. I'm going to share one of those today. I also know this. There are some of us in this room that aren't giving. Whether we just have chosen not to, whether we think, well, I just can't give because, well, I just am in a lot of debt. Please hear from God. I find it interesting myself. Many of us in this room, if not all of us, would claim God to be our God, to be the one that we serve, to be the one that we hold our allegiance to. But then some of us struggle to give God back what I see as a mandate, an encouragement, a design for us to follow. And we certainly find ways to spend money, don't we? Almost every day, if I was to sit down with you and say, oh, what'd you spend money on today? We spend money. There's just things that want us to spend money on. I don't know if you are aware of that, but man, we just have things. Hey, spend money here. Hey, spend money here. Have it your way. If you just watch TV, if you're watching the Olympics, boy, you're going to want to go buy pizza or you're want to go buy the. I don't know if you know this, but Fisher's Furniture is having a sale. That is groundbreaking news, I know, for those of you who live in Rapid City, but Fisher's Furniture is having a sale over the weekend. Hey, you can go buy a new couch. Why not? I don't want you to feel condemned today. I want you to get a taste of giving and the joy and freedom that will come from it if you truly decide to give. If you're tithing already, hear me in this. I hope you hear the heart of the message because some of you tithe already and you're like, well, thank you, Pastor Steve, for sharing this morning, but I've already done that and so it's not for me. I want to challenge you even further in your giving unto the Lord. Let me give you a for instance there. Some of you are like, and I've talked about this in recent days, and if you're a guest of ours, please know that I don't talk about finances a whole lot. I actually try to stay away from it quite a bit. But I've talked about this in recent days. Sometimes in the church we say this, well, I've made $42, and so I'm going to tithe $4.20. Don't ask me to tithe $5 because that would be over 10%. And if I do over 10%, who knows what would happen there. I don't know if I can live without that 80 cents. Try to outgive God. Try to outgive God. If you're not tithing, please listen to the scripture and adjust your lifestyle so you can give unto the Lord. Now, some of you, we could have a theological discussion about what giving unto the Lord means. I think it means bring the first fruits into the house of the Lord and seeing what God can do through that. It's amazing how we can spend money on pleasures. Let me give you a couple of those. Vacations. We spend thousands of dollars, some of us, on vacations, but yet we can't give to the Lord. Addictions. Whether your addictions whether your addiction is soda or coffee or shoes or chocolate or eating out or some kind of destructive behavior, whether it be a trip, whether it be a couch, whether it be a piece of art, oh, that would just look great in our home. Video game, social outings, we spend a ton of money, but at times we can't give it to the Lord. Why is that? If I gave you some, and I'm not going to do this morning, if I gave you some financial things of the church and some of the questions that I have of those, you might be amazed. And hear me in this. In this message, I hope you're hearing my heart. I don't want you to say, well, look at this guy over there. I think we all have a heart issue that we have to deal with when we talk about giving. And I think if you are giving, you are blessed and you know it. And I also believe that if we try to scrimp on God and you're not giving anything at all, that the blessings we receive may not happen or they may stop. Here's what Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 says. Every tithe of the land, whether of the seed or of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. A mother wanted to teach her daughter a moral lesson. And so the mother gave the little girl a quarter and a dollar at church. And this is what she said. Put whatever one you want in the collection plate and keep the other for yourself. They were coming out of the church. The mother asked her daughter which amount she had given. And she said, well, the man up in front said, you should all be cheerful givers. And I knew that I'd be a lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter. So I did. Do you give? Do you financially give to the Lord's work? Do you give 10%? And on top of that, do you give cheerfully? Are you a cheerful giver? When the ushers come forward, are you like, woo, I get to give today? We don't do this in our church, and I've seen it done, and I've thought about doing it. But I didn't want to make anybody uncomfortable because, you know, we're in the church, and we don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. But there was one church I went to as a youth pastor one time. I was on a trip, and on the trip, we went to a Sunday service, and we went to a different church, and it came time for offering. And you know what they did? They brought the offering right here. And this was the offering plate. And everybody that wanted to give got up, and they came and put their money in the offering plate. And then when they were done, they went and sat back down. Some of us wouldn't like that a whole lot, because we wouldn't get up a whole lot. And then maybe Pastor Steve would say, hey, I don't know about that. There are some pastors that think it's important and valuable, and I don't disagree with them. I just don't do this, to sit down with people and say, are you giving? And I notice you haven't been giving. And that is saying something to me spiritually, and so you need to start giving. I'm not going to do that with you. This is my opportunity to say, what does God's word say? And do you give unto the Lord? I choose to believe this. If you give unto the Lord, God will bless you. C.S. Lewis says this, I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. I want to open the scripture with you today from Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 12. It's on the Bible in the rack in front of you if you happen not to bring your Bible. On page 802, you might have a gadget of some kind. You might have brought your Bible, or maybe you would just like to listen, or maybe you want to read on the screen behind. The Bible is here. Here's what it says. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. One translation says it this way, open the floodgates of heaven. I love that phrase. Verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. As I look through this passage, I see this. We have to depend on the Lord. Do you? What consumes you? God knows that things can consume us. Thus, we need to trust in God, because if we don't, we will be consumed. Can you imagine the world you would live in if you didn't trust in the Lord? Think about this for just a moment. Do you imagine the world that you would live in if you did not trust in the Lord? Many of us, all of us, would be in a world of hurt, wouldn't we, if we didn't trust in the Lord? You may think at times you are consumed, but think deeper how it would be. If you didn't have the Lord, the things of this world would consume you. We need to be consumed by the Lord. May we be consumed by God every moment of every day. We must keep God's statutes. We must keep his statutes. God is very forceful, I think, with these words. Verse 7, from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. This is a tough word from the Lord today. You've turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. We have to keep his statutes. We have an idea of a loving God, and he is, but he also is a just God. And we should trust in him, and we should obey. We must not rob God. That's scriptural. Will a man rob God? How are we robbing him? In your tithes and contribution. Peter Marshall says this, give according to your income, lest God make your income according to your giving. Let me repeat that. Give according to your income, lest God make your income according to your giving. Hear me in this for just a moment. If you think it's okay to put $20 in the plate a week, live on $200 a week, nobody in this room would probably make it on $200 a week. I'll put my 20 in and it looks good. We may say, how are we robbing God? And it's talking specifically about finances, and I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But could we be robbing God in other areas? Do we rob God with our time? The answer is yes, we do. I do. There are times when we do things that just, really? Why'd you do that with your time? Some of us are men in the room, and some of us are young men in the room, and young men in the room sometimes like to play video games. Really? I mean, it's good to have some downtime, but our hopes, do we rob God with our hopes? I don't know if God can come through on this one. Do we rob God with our talents? Do we rob God with our fears? Each of us have talents, and are we using those for the Lord? Here's what it says. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me. Now, we want a loving God, and I don't like those words. Do you? We don't like this whole curse thing. We want to have God being nice to us. But if we take this literally, and I think we should take the Bible literally, we may be cursing ourselves if we are not giving to the Lord of our financial offerings. This is tough truth. This is his word. But I sure like the rest of the verse, don't you? Here's what it says. If we tithe, then God will rebuke the devourer. I like that. That's the God I want. I want the God that says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer, but there seems to be a part on my part. There has to be a response. Do you want all of God's blessings? I mean, all of God's blessings. I mean, all of God's blessings. If you want them all, then we need to live in God's statutes. Now, this may have been talking when the prophet was writing this. It may have been talking about a locust that was going to devour their crops. And God has the power to do this. I read recently through the plagues of in Egypt. And one of the plagues was locust. And here's what the scripture says. The locust came up and covered the land until it was black. Or another translation says, the land was darkened. Now, I've not been in a place where it was black from locusts. I've seen grasshoppers, but I haven't seen it that bad. But imagine that. Now, some of us in this room can't really understand this because we've moved away from farming. We used to be a culture that was very rural, and it was farming. But let me go there for just a moment. Maybe you can understand this, of the time that a farmer puts in getting the land cultivated and then planting that seed and then putting fertilizer on that seed and then reworking and then waiting and hoping the rain will come and praying for the rain to come and praying that the sun will come at the right time and praying against the hail that will come. And then they're waiting for that harvest to come up. And then here comes the locust. Oh my, this is not a good day. How do we stop them? Boys, go out with your rubber band gun and try to knock off as many as you can of these locusts. It's not going to happen. They're going to overtake. And here is what he's saying. He's saying, I am going to help you. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, said the Lord of hosts. I think God is saying this. If you, as a person who says you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in the Lord and give back to him out of your first fruits, then he will give you so much more in return. And then the nations will rise up and call you blessed. Others will see and know. And it is because of what you do quietly as you tithe off the top of your paycheck, as you tithe off your first fruits. There's some legislation that has just come in our national and federal government that says that maybe we may not be able to get as much for a tax write-off for the gifts that you give to charitable contributions. Now, here's my belief. My belief is that we can use this law as a benefit because it's there, and we can use that. However, if that goes away, do you just stop giving to charitable places as well as to the church? If you do, then you have the wrong motivation for doing it. You get a financial statement each year from the church, and I'm glad that we do that. Wonderful. If that goes away, well, can't give anymore because the government's not going to give me a write-off. Here's what David Livingstone says. I place no value on anything I have or may possess, except in relation to the kingdom of God. If anything will advance the interest of the kingdom, it shall be given away or kept only as by giving or keeping it. I shall most promote the glory of him to whom I owe all my hopes in time or eternity. Did Jesus talk about money? Sure did. Luke chapter 16, verse 13, you cannot serve both God and money. In Mark chapter 12, verse 17, Jesus was talking with a group of people and he says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And obviously he's saying that there's things that are God's, and so give unto God. Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pangs. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Can I be honest with you? I don't like going to things, specifically probably a concert where this happened to me, where I'm at a concert and all of a sudden they break from the music and there's a picture of somebody up on the screen that's starving in a third world country, and then it pulls at my heartstrings and says, you need to give to this, and if you don't give to this, then you're not following the Lord. I don't like those emotional things, okay? I don't like those because we need to be aware of that. I understand that, and we need to give. I understand that, but I don't like to be emotionally tugged, and I love this verse in 2 Corinthians, because it says, for each one must give as he has decided in his heart. And that's where it's at. It's a decision right then and there. A man had a heart attack and he was rushed to the hospital. And he could receive little company and he was not to be excited by any means. Well, while he was in the hospital, this man had a rich uncle who died and left this man $1 million. His family wondered how to break the news to him, and they didn't want to give him any excitement because they didn't want to cause him any more difficulty. And it was decided to ask the preacher if he would go and break the news quietly to the man. Good thing for preachers, isn't it? The preacher went, and he gradually led up to the question, and the preacher finally asked the patient. He said, you know, what would you do if you inherited $1 million? And the patient said this, I think I would give half of it to the church. The preacher dropped dead. I wouldn't, just so you know. Here's what it says. Tithes and contributions goes beyond tithes. Can we really outgive God? Number four, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. I just kind of wondered what I should share about finances, and should I share of how much people are giving and how that, here's what the Word of God says. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 19, the best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. In 2017, from January to December, people gave to First Wesleyan Church $485,752.94. Thank you. It's a lot of money. If you want to say it in other terms, like $500,000. It's a lot of money. I believe First Wesleyan Church to be a giving church, but I wonder if we haven't reached the level yet, because we all haven't jumped on board, or we've stuck ourselves at 10% and said no more. Each week you see a little stewardship report in the bulletin and you're like, oh, we need $8,600 a week. Wow, we're above budget, so maybe I don't have to give this week. Wow, isn't that wonderful? Right above that, it talks about the total given to date about the building fund. In the last 3 years, it hadn't even been 3 years yet, we've had people of our church give $510,000 to this. That's penny after penny. It's 10 after 10. That's 1,000 after 1,000. Thank you. Well, that guy sitting next to me, he must be really rich. Did you see what car he drove in? Just because you drive a nice car does not mean that you are giving unto the Lord. You know this, and let me repeat it. Some of us in this room are just actually in a boatload of debt. We haven't been wise with our money. We own nice stuff. We own nice stuff. And we have a lot of toys and cars and houses. Are you robbing God of a blessing to you? Think and pray on this. I hope that as you leave this morning, you don't just say, well, okay, that was another little message on giving. I hope that you hear God's word in this. We as a church, I as a pastor, try to use money very wisely here at the church. I'll give you a for instance. If you come in to the church during the week and there's not something that's scheduled, the hallway is kept at 60 degrees. This room is kept at 60 degrees. Pastor Bradley works in here on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings, and sometimes he turns the heat up and sometimes he doesn't. We're trying to be wise with the money that God has given to us. And I love, again, will I not open the windows of heaven for you? Will I not open the floodgates of heaven for you? I brought with me a $100 bill today. I have $100, and would you just hold this for a second, Hunter? Okay? Don't lose that, all right? Okay? It's my $100. That came out of my my eating fund, out of our food fund for our family. So you guys are hoping that he doesn't take that money. A couple years ago, some of you were in the service when I did this, but a couple years ago, I gave $100 to a guy in first service, and I gave $100 to a guy in second service. And I said, just hold on to that money. And somewhere along the way, I'm going to say, I think somebody wants to give me $100. And then you just pop up and you give me that $100. And sure enough, that happened in first service. The guy was very good to do. And in second service, that happened as well. And they gave me back my $100. And so just like you'll give me back my $100, right? Was that hard to do? No. Why? Because it's not your money, is it? One of the guys who had that money on that day, that $100 was sitting in his wallet all through service. I said, just keep this. And he just put it in his wallet. He had some other bills in his wallet, and he kept it in there. And then when it came time for me to say, hey, would you be willing to give me, who wants to give me $100? He just got up and gave me the $100. And as that $100 sat in his wallet, something clicked in his mind, and he's like, that's God's money too, and it's right. I mean, it's not my money, it's God's money, and it's sitting right by my money, so it's all God's money. That point in time, that man and his wife had been giving a little bit, but they had not been tithing, and they determined to start tithing, giving 10%. They had an emergency fund of $1,500 set up. And as they started tithing, guess what happened to that $1,500? It started to go down. I believe the story is it got down to around $200 in their emergency fund, and things were very tight. And he was keeping track of his finances online. And keeping track of his finances online, he knew one evening of a deposit that he needed to take out of his bank account. And as he was at the computer, his wife said, oh, by the way, I stopped at the grocery store tonight on my way home. And he said, you did? She said, yes. And he said, well, how much did you spend? And he's calculating this up in his head as she's talking. And she says, I think I spent like $87, was somewhere in the $87.24. And he's like, that's about how much we have in our bank account. This is not all that good. Let me go check my bank account right now. And so he goes over to the computer and he looks at his bank account and he sees these numbers, 0.00. And this was his first thought. His first thought was, we've overdrafted the account and now we have to go through all the processes with that. As he checked, he realized that she had spent the exact amount left in checking. They hadn't overdrafted. It was actually 0.00. He still had a couple $100 as an emergency fund, and he transferred a couple dollars, however many dollars, into the checking account, and they made it just fine. They continued to tithe. And if you were to talk to that man and his wife today, who will hopefully be here in second service, they have received bonuses, advances, raises, since they said yes to the Lord. Time and time and time again, they've received that. Now, this couple still has to manage their money. There's still greed that can come up on each of us, or we can do that. And we have to have that proper balance between getting too much and barely scraping by. But my fear is that as a culture, we need all of our stuff and have forgotten God, and thus we rob him. Some of us have a tough time giving because of debt. And hear me in this. Stop borrowing. Pay off your bills and focus on how you can give. Some of us are nervous about this because we don't want to admit we have a problem and that we can get out at any time. What is the phrase? Every one of us is like one paycheck or a couple paychecks away from going bankrupt or something like that. I hope that's not us, because God wants us to be wise with our finances. If your finances are a struggle, come chat, and I believe the Lord will help. I personally have set up, and maybe you don't do this, I don't know. I have set up an automatic withdrawal for my utilities. I pay to Rapid City Utilities, and I have an automatic withdrawal. And you know what's great about that? Every month, they take money out of my account. And you know what's wonderful? This morning, if I go like this to a faucet, I receive water. We have three bathrooms in our home, and we have six people. Guess what? We use the toilet. And it sure is nice to be able to hit that little thing and to have that stuff go wherever, wherever it goes. I praise the Lord for that. Isn't that wonderful? I do this. We have a bunch of trash in our house, and we put it in bags, and then we put it in a trash can, and I wheel it out to the street, and guess what happens? Every Friday, unless there's a holiday, some guy comes by, and he uses the... I think it's incredibly wonderful that that happens. Tithing should not be a drudgery, but an enjoyment. Just like I love having running water, toilets that flush, and trash to be cared for, God provides living water. He rids me of my filth, and he gets the trash out of my life. And I should be willing to give back to him. I encourage you to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. If you choose to do this, I believe God's word is true, and he says, test me in this, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and bless you. We have people who give change at First Wesleyan Church. That typically is mostly kids. If you're a kid in the room, give unto the Lord 10%. You should do that. That should just be a part of who you are. We have people who give cash. We have people who give checks. We have people who give through electronic giving. And maybe you want to set up electronic giving. There's some forms out that are out there if you want to. However you do it, please know as you give, I know this, you step out in faith and God will reward you. May God open the floodgates of heaven and may there be so much blessing that we will not have room for it. Let me say one more thing, and this has nothing to do with finances, but I think it's just maybe needs to be said. Sometimes we get focused on finances here, and I think it is talking about finances. But is there an area of your life that your finances are in order and you're taking care of all that, and you just need to hear this? Bring everything into my storehouse, and I'm going to bless you. Test me in this. And sometimes we don't want to test God, because if we test God, maybe he won't come through. He will! And so maybe it's not finances for you, but maybe it's another area that you're having a hard time with. May God rebuke the devourer so will not destroy any fruits of your soil. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for each of you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And let me say this as I pray for you again. I'm going to publicly, as I pray, give thanks to you who give so faithfully. I also encourage some of you to confess to the Lord times when you and I haven't spent our money very wisely, maybe even now. And this just serves as a time of confession for you so that we will not rob God. Lord Jesus, I thank you for each person that's here. I thank you for each person that you have given money to. Each of us have money. A lot of us have money in our pockets right now, and that's yours. Thank you for giving us money. Thank you for allowing us as a church to have this wonderful church. And I just pray, God, that you would help us to see what your scripture is saying. Help us not to rob you. Help us to give in tithes and contributions. God, if there be somebody here this morning, several people here this morning, that this is tough to take, but they need to hear this, I pray that they would say, okay, God, I'm sorry, but I will. And they will give unto you. Lord, where we have spent money foolishly, and all of us have in this room, help us to be repentant of that. And God, would you help us to be wise? Oh God, I pray individually and I pray corporately that as we walk out of here, that each of us would say yes to you, give unto you. And I ask God that you would make your scripture to be realized through each of our lives, individually and corporately, that you will pour open the floodgates of heaven and you will pour down such a blessing until there is no more need. Oh God, would you be willing to do that? And would those that see what's happening, would they say, wow, God must be in that, because they are giving of themselves and giving their time and money. Thank you, God, for the resources you have given to us. Maybe we'll be wise with those. Give us a wonderful week. Lord, there is a bunch of things happening in everybody's life. Each man, each woman, each boy, each girl, there's all kinds of things. And I just pray, God, that you would touch each of their lives and that they would know that as they go from this place, they have met with you and that you will walk with each one of us every day. Thank you, God, for your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.